Welcome to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Each week we share conversations with a variety of contributors reflecting on a particular aspect of our life and witness in these days. Please do subscribe to this podcast to make sure you receive future episodes, and we'd really appreciate you sharing this in your congregation or via social media to encourage others. My name is Rick Hill, I'm the host of this podcast, and today's conversation is focused on how we can continue to enable discipleship from a distance. And to help us explore this, I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Johnson, Michael Wiley and Marty Gray. It's great to have each of you with us today, and I know from recent conversations with each of you that you have much to share in this area. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about where and how you serve. Marty.
I'm Marty Gray. Yeah, I'm married to Emma and we have two young boys, and I'm the minister of Ravenhill Presbyterian Church in Belfast. I've been there for almost 2 years. And we're a church that's trying to revitalise and reach out to our local community.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm Michael Wiley. I'm married to Rachel. We have three children. And I'm the discipleship associate at Carmoney Church. And before that, I was youth pastor in my home church in Carrickfergus.
Brilliant. And Mark?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. So my name's Mark. I'm married to Gillian. We have three little kids, Daniel, Peter and Sophie. And I've been pastoring a church family, St Andrews in Bangor, for the last almost 4 years. We're a church family made up of many generations and many different cultures as well, and seeking to reach out to the Clandeboy village area around the building of the church as well.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thanks to each of you for coming on today. I guess even saying this phrase, discipleship at a distance, it probably sounds like a bit of an oxymoron, because often we want to disciple people in a relational way. But today we're trying to consider how churches can continue to disciple people even in our current scattered state. So maybe rather than jumping just to what each of you are doing, I'd love to begin by talking about some of the principles that you've each been seeking to hold on to through all this time. So Marty, why don't you maybe kick off on that for us?
Sure. Whenever it comes to discipleship, I see a number of principles. So discipleship is giving people truth. It's equipping them to live out the Christian life in their everyday life. There's elements of accountability in discipleship, equipping people for mission and then prayer. And I guess in this time of socially distant discipling, if you like, the two things that I'm really trying to focus on are equipping people is the first one, and also in helping them to engage in mission, even at this stage. So I think equipping people, giving them the tools to live for Jesus in this time of lockdown and in this time of uncertainty, and then also helping people see how they might be able to be missional and actually reach out to others as well in this time. So they're the two, I guess, big things at the minute, is equipping a mission. That are the two things that I'm kind of clinging to and trying to give people in my congregation at this time.
Yeah, and I've noticed from your Ravenhill YouTube page that you've taken a slightly different approach with your Sunday resources. So in some ways you've been producing a resource to use rather than just a streamed service to watch? So could you tell us a wee bit about that, and maybe what that's looked like, and maybe why that's around the principle of equipping?
Yeah, so the resource, it's called Church at Home, and it's taking the elements, I guess, of worship and repackaging them also almost in a TV style program. And the resource is there, it's to kind of help people apply scripture in their life now, but also it's something that they could share with others. So at the minute we're doing, it's called Simply Jesus, and it's looking at Mark's gospel. And the idea is that it's trying to look at Jesus as he disciples people through the gospel for discipleship, but also it's a resource that can be shared evangelistically with people who are not yet church folk, and they can engage with Jesus maybe for the first time. So it's trying to do those both things of equipping for discipleship, but also something that can be used to spark conversations for evangelism as well.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Mark, do you want to talk about some of the principles that have been coming to the fore for you?
Yes. So personally, even as a disciple of Christ, Rick, I've been trying to abide by the principle that I need to keep at a steady and sustainable pace. At the moment, it feels as though that we're at the start of a marathon rather than a sprint. And this, after this pandemic wave or waves, as they pass, there'll be a whole wave of other deeper pastoral needs that are already beginning to emerge, but also discipling opportunities as well. So that idea of a steady, healthy pace. I'm also trying to abide by the principle that in my role as a pastor and a disciple maker, I'm trying to go after people's hearts that at times are weary, that feel lost at sea, that are scared, confused, that some that are energized by this as well. And really, in phone call and phone caller, Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting, trying to remind people who they are in Christ and the rhythms that they're developing that will help them to grow in spiritual maturity. And I suppose the third one is that one size is not fitting all at the moment when it comes to discipling. So people are responding to this pandemic in lots of different ways, lots of different life experiences. And I'm finding in discipling folk, it's one person at a time, phone call by phone call, trying to listen, trying to learn, trying to point people to Jesus and what he's saying to them at this time.
And so what does that look like for you in terms of your ministry then? If these are the principles, how's that been played out for you?
Yeah, so it's very much person by person, heart after heart, really, week in, week out. I think I've maybe overestimated what can happen on a Sunday and underestimated at times what can happen during the week. So that the day by day during the course of a week ministry, and picking up the phone and having FaceTime calls and doing the things that many folk are doing already and seeking to point people to Jesus, but recognizing that there are different stages in their faith journey, or some who have no faith at all. There's an opportunity to disciple in lots of different ways, but it's one person at a time going after people's hearts.
I think a lot of people probably resonate with the marathon, not a sprint analogy, and maybe the not bombarding people or overwhelming people at this time as well. So we'll maybe pick up on that in a moment. But Michael, do you want to just come in and some of the principles that you've been seeking to hold on to through this?
I suppose I agree with what Marty and Mark were saying there, and particularly trying to equip people where they're at and resource individual people. Being conscious that you've been called to a particular people is something that I felt really strongly from the start. When there's this wave of content placed online, and it's almost like Netflix for church. Mm. And there's so many options, and people can now visit every church in their local area and find out what's going on. One way I wanted to try and resource the local people or the particular group of people that I was called to. I know Paul says to the Colossians that he wants to present everyone perfect in Christ. And yet Peter writes to God's elect strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. There's a definable region. There's a geographic location that he's trying to target with his ministry. And for me, I think that's something really important. When before I was saying to people about, you know, podcasts not being enough to be church, or video stuff online is not being enough to be church, because these people will never visit you in hospital or come to you when you're sick. Well, now we can't actually come to people when they're sick or visit them in hospital or when they're grieving. And so I'm really eager to try and find ways to minister to particular people, even though I might be looking at a camera, to have faces in mind as I preach or as I prepare stuff. And the other thing is the unseen nature of ministry. That's been really strong for me. As a thought about, our master says to us in Matthew 6, you know, go into your room, close the door, your father sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And I'm finding real comfort and encouragement in that at the minute, to try and lean into what does it look like to embrace the unseen nature of the world that we're living in right now and not feel the pressure to be doing absolutely everything online. That's about discipline, I suppose, to do things that will never be seen or applauded by other people, which we always know in ministry, but there's a huge pressure at the minute to be doing that.
So what are your reflections, Michael, then, about the balance between, you know, providing for people? Because you've talked about the need to do that, the need to equip people, but also not, you know, picking up on that Mark theme there about not bombarding or overwhelming people. How have you sought to I guess, strike that balance?
Well, I think especially in the first fortnight, I was really tired because I felt I was consuming a lot of content myself. So it's about pointing people away from their screen, pointing them away from their phone or their laptop, and saying to them in a message or in a video, why don't you go and lift your Bible for yourself? Why don't you lift a notebook and point them away from the bombardment that is available online? If people are already addicted to social media, we've just given them loads more Christian content to be addicted to, you know, social media through. So it's about trying to point people away from that in the resources that you're supplying.
I think in this time we have to recognize that people are under pressure with loads of stuff. People are under pressure about their jobs. Some people have been furloughed. They're worrying if they're going to have a job when it all comes back. Parents are under pressure with homeschool, and people are under pressure looking after elderly parents. They're worried about future concerns. People have anxiety, mental health issues. I think in this time people are feeling bombarded. Lots of people are feeling so many difficult things. And I think whenever you add in then sort of church guilt. Now, what I mean by that is, in church, sometimes I think we feel like we have to be doing everything or at every meeting and all of that sort of stuff. And so I think it's important that we don't make people feel under more pressure by almost making them feel like they have to be doing X, Y, and Z, or else they're a terrible Christian in this time. Or they have to be watching everything that we're producing. So I think it's that balance of giving people stuff that's doable, that they can engage with, but trying to say, but listen, you know, you don't actually have to be engaging with this to be a follower of Jesus just now. This is something you might want to do that might help you, but please don't feel guilty if you're not able to engage in these things we're providing online. And I think it's trying to do that balance of giving people things that they can engage with, but trying not to add that pressure of saying, you know, if you don't engage with these, you know, are you really a Christian this time of COVID-19? Because I think this is wrong, you know.
I think that's really good, because we need to be conscious of all the other roles and responsibilities that families have had to take on. Mm. So, you know, the role of school teacher in the home is now the parent responsibility, and maybe even barber and full-time cook and everything else, you know, is now the responsibility that was once delegated to someone else is now on the family to be doing those things, as well as the role of a Christian leader in the local church. So I think we need to be conscious of the expectations that we're bombarding people with on top of everything else that they're doing.
Guys, I have to also admit that even myself, taking the minister hat off here at the moment as a husband and a father, trying to cope with the massive change that we've all experienced in the last month, it has felt overwhelming even personally too. I mean, as you say, Michael, we've been homeschooling our kids, and the chaos that has brought, and there's been great things come out of it too. There's been a sense almost of grief. I mean, there's not a week that goes past where I don't shed tears, particularly on a Sunday, where I'm longing to be physically present with people. And that's now not happening at the moment. There's good things happening, but it's also really tough to cope with at times. So there's like a shock element. And as I've chatted with folk, even as Gillian, my wife, and I have chatted together over the last couple of weeks, there has been that sense that we've been overwhelmed with life and the bombardment of change all around us. And then for us as church leaders to be adding a whole new layer of you got to do this and you got to do that, it's been pretty full on, to the point that you just can't focus anymore. And so we've just simply been trying to keep the principle of just keeping things simple, gently reminding folk phone call by phone call, or even on a Sunday in some form of worship service online, who folk are in Christ. Gentle reminders without adding, as Marty says, that additional layer of guilt that if you don't do X, Y, and Z today in your devotional times, well, then you're not cutting the mustard as a Christian.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Mark. In some ways, you're pushing us to think not just what do we need to be doing in this time, but actually what do we need to know, or who do we need to know in this as well. I mean, there is a clear message here of less is more, or less might be more, but we also want to explore maybe some of the ways that you have been seeking to equip people for their personal discipleship through Bible study or fellowship or prayer while they can't meet together as usual. So I wonder maybe what key ways that you have been seeking to do this in each of your contexts. Michael, do you want to start?
We were already initially in a 25 days of prayer cycle when this all hit. And so we just added a wee bit of value to that by getting people to do the daily Bible reading aspect of the prayer that was down for that day. And they did it online at 12 o'clock and led us in a prayer. And that was really good, just to see different faces at a time when we were distanced. It was that initial shock period of feeling we can't be together, and we desired. I mean, PCI produced the whole resource called Proximity. It's what we want in discipleship. We want to be together. And one of the ways we did that was just encouraging people to be reading their Bible at 12 o'clock along with us and praying about the specific aspects of our vision. That was one thing we did. And then another thing that we've just been doing recently is a 3-2-1 video where people have been talking about three things that they're thankful for in the midst of lockdown, two things that they're looking forward to when restrictions are lifted, and one thing about God that will never change no matter what's going on. And that's probably just to try and provide a model to say to people, yes, things are tough, but we always have reasons to be thankful. And as Christians, we don't always just have to be chipper as well. There are things that we can lament. There are things that we can say, this is not good and we want this to end. And in the middle of it all, that God is present with us. So they're just a couple of things that we've been doing to try and model patterns and rhythms of discipleship and habits and routines that will stir faith at the minute.
Yeah, and just to clarify, those videos, they've been daily, but they've been done by a range of people throughout the congregation, so the pressure doesn't necessarily fall on a minister or ministry staff. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's really intentional too, because we want to make sure that at this time the whole church can be seen and not just you know, leaders or staff members. We want to try and encourage ordinary Christians to be taking responsibility for their own discipleship at this time.
Marty, picking up that theme, you've been doing that as well and trying to seek to equip people for their own Bible study. Do you want to share with us some things about that?
Yeah, so we're doing a number of things to try to equip people. I did a little 5-minute tutorial on how to spend time with God, how to have a quiet time, whatever way you want to phrase that. And it's done in such a way that it doesn't say, you know, there's a certain amount of time you need to spend or here's exactly what you must do, but it just gives a model. So that's up online just to give people a model of how they might actually have their own quiet time. And then, we're going through the book of Mark, and we're going to be covering it kind of over the next 11 weeks. So I put together an 8-week Bible reading plan for Mark's gospel. So if you think, you know, Mark's only 16 chapters over 8 weeks, it's only a small bit to read every day, but it's just giving people a tool that they can actually break the book up and read it and think about it in advance. So that's kind of for quiet time equipping. That's what we've done. Then in terms of for growing a little bit, I've organized a socially distant book club. So that's going to start next Wednesday night, and it's very relaxed. So people have to buy Gary Miller's book, Need to Know, which is a book about living for Jesus and what you need to know to live the Christian life. Short, accessible chapters. So people read those, and then we come on Zoom, and there's a few discussion questions at the end. And that's really to give a group feel, but also to give people a focus of growth in this time. And again, that's not something we're saying you must be at. It's saying if you have the time and you'd like to be part of it, you can come to that, and you don't need to be there every week. You can tune in as the weeks go on that you're available.
Yeah, but you're creating a bit of accountability there, I suppose, as well.
And yeah,
reading and then chatting about it together.
Reading and talking, and there's kind of set questions at the end of the book, which then focuses the conversation, which is nice too. Mm-hmm. And then I guess in terms of equipment for mission, very, very simply putting on a little Mission Monday Facebook post with actually normally taking something from Share Jesus International. They have these prompts, okay, and picking one or two of those that can be done in social isolation. And we're seeing those being kind of picked up and done, which is really encouraging. But it's really just giving people some options of things to do that will hopefully help them to grow in this time and follow Jesus even in this time of isolation.
Yep. And in the spirit of sharing resources, if people want to access that, I'm just thinking of those videos around the quiet time, the equipping people for Bible study, where could they access
that? Yeah, so they can access that on our YouTube channel, Ravenhill Presbyterian Church, or on facebook.com/Ravenhill Church. And if they click on the description of the video, there's a link to two kind of documents I've put together. One is one which can be used to actually read the Bible, and one is a little template for every day of how to have a quiet time. Okay. So if they want to access that, the Facebook page or the YouTube page, they'll get that under the description.
Okay, brilliant. Mark, how have you been seeking to equip people in simple ways?
Yeah, so we've been putting a lot of effort into the Sunday sort of worship videos that folk can dial into or listen into over the phone to build a sense of community and connection, and involving lots of different people. So people are actually stepping into roles that they maybe didn't have before and having to go in different parts of ministry for Sunday worship. And we then put a link out to different resources that we've used during those services and put a link up onto our website as well. Every day, I'm putting together just a very simple couple of verses from scripture and a prayer based on those words of scripture. I think maybe sometimes the temptation every morning is to tune into the news or our Facebook feeds or whatever, but we're trying to encourage people, again, that rhythm of looking to the Lord first at the start of a new day. But when we're bombarded again with so much difficult news and the death figures and all of that every day, it's overwhelming, and it can be hard to know how to even pray. So every morning we've been putting out, initially to our prayer WhatsApp group of about 70 people, a daily hope and strength Bible, a couple of verses, and a prayer as well. And for those that maybe haven't the time to read it, I'll just record my voice. The world's not ready for my face, so I'm just recording my voice. And that goes on to Facebook as well. And it's been interesting. People have then been sharing that with their networks here and there. So we've begun to get feedback from people right across the country saying, could you pray for this, or I need help with this, or thank you for that. And that has maybe hopefully been helping folk to develop that daily rhythm. Look to the Lord first, read the Bible, pray honestly. So this morning's daily hope and strength was about loving God and loving others. And quite openly at the start of the voice recording, I said, look, folks, sorry for the delay in getting this out. World War III has just erupted this morning over Lego bricks with our two boys. But after this, we're going to go down and chat about what does it mean to love God and love one another, even whenever we fall out over Lego bricks. So trying to ground it in the here and now, in the daily lives of folks. And we've also been trying to have a regular Zoom call with our elders. They're working their guts out at the moment, phoning around folk, going after people's hearts. They're key disciple makers in the church. And so part of my role has been to try and encourage them, pray for one another and check in with them and try and help them and support them in the work that they're doing as they disciple folks one person at a time too.
I wonder if we might begin to move away from just what we're doing now to think a little bit more big picture. And I wonder if any of you have thoughts about what this season might have the potential to change or reshape, I guess maybe in good ways or helpful ways, the ways that we do discipleship when church life resumes our more regular patterns again. Marty, do you have thoughts on that?
Maybe starting with actually talking about how it might have a chance to reshape us as disciples. Really fascinating in this time. You know, we're so used to going to things in church or being at things and doing things. But in this time, obviously, all of those programs have stopped. And what we've seen in our congregation, especially amongst the younger people, is that they've started to get involved in serving the older people, going and getting groceries for them, going and picking up prescriptions for them. And it's so interesting that the programs have stopped, but yet, interesting, their growth as disciples has grown. And so I think, I mean, part of me thinks I'd hate to see this all end and us go back to just having lots of programs and lose that sense of actually loving each other and working out our discipleship. So that's something to kind of going forward. I really don't want us to lose. I think we've got something here at this time that's very special. And I think we want that to keep going. But then going ahead, I guess, and thinking through actually how we disciple people. I mean, I think I'm doing a lot more one-to-one calls in this time over the phone or over Zoom and less group time. And I just think that is maybe something that can continue actually, is doing more one-to-one conversational things over the phone or over Zoom, even once this all has ended, because it's been brilliant to see picking up the phone. I've had more phone calls with people in the past kind of 2 months with people from my congregation than I have really since I've been there. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's something that maybe I hadn't really thought through before, is like, and realizing that a phone conversation can be a key part of discipleship, this one-to-one interaction. And I just think I'd like to continue that after that we do pick up the phone and have a talk and chat, and yeah, that you don't need to meet people face to face to disciple them, is what I'm saying.
I think another thing, Marty, that's going to maybe change in the life of our church is that we're all going to have a deeper empathy for people who haven't been able to be in public worship for months and years, let alone 5 weeks. We're all getting a glimpse of what it's like to be housebound. And maybe we as a church will do better at getting resources to people and maintaining contact with people for whom public worship has been something they haven't been able to get involved in for a long time. And we will not forget these people very easily, because we've had a taste of what it's like. And so we probably work harder at engaging those who are in nursing homes or who are in at home and unable to come to public worship. That's something I've been thinking about a lot over the last couple of weeks, thinking that this has been people's experience for a long time and we're getting a glimpse of it right now. So I think that may be something that may change, that we will work harder at trying to be in communication and be in contact with those who are distanced from church.
Definitely.
Mark, I wonder what particular opportunities you see maybe arising in this period of pandemic to grow as disciples.
Yeah, so I'll mention that I had a heart attack back in October, and it was a whole resettling and re-leveling experience for me when my world just simply stopped for 3 months, and I had to reevaluate with the Lord's help who I was in Him, rather than what my job description was as a minister. And I was going at 150 miles an hour and suffered greatly from hurry sickness, which provoked the heart attack. And we began a whole reset series whenever I get back in January with our folk in St. Andrews, looking at the importance of silence and solitude, about the importance of resting, about Sabbath rest, about family ministry and family worship, about slowing down to enjoy God and actually simplifying life. And then this pandemic hits, and all of us now, I think, are in a period where the world has stopped as we know it for us. But there's an opportunity in the midst of the chaos at the moment to allow ourselves to have our priorities reset, our focus reset, to get back to the basics of what is truly important in life and eternity. And so at the moment, we're beginning to see folk really asking these big questions about life, about faith, those of no faith, opening up and talking about God. What is He doing at the moment? And those who are followers of Christ beginning to reevaluate what their lives have been like, even in the life of church family, which is hectic and pretty mad activity-wise at times. Now there's an opportunity to slow down a wee bit, to actually see nature grow around us as things slow down and quieten down, to begin to listen in a deeper way. And we're beginning to ask questions to one, two key discipling questions that we've always put up on a screen after every Sunday service when we gather, but we're too busy having tea and coffee to think about what the questions are. But now we're beginning to ask the questions again. What is God teaching you in these days? And how are you going to respond? Two discipling questions that's getting all of us thinking at the moment. So I think there's a whole opportunity that's emerging at the moment to get back to the basics of our faith, healthy rhythms of devotion and simplicity of living, and Sabbath rest as well, and family worship, and also recognizing that as God gifts us, and he gifts all of us, there's an every member ministry at the moment which is beginning to flourish, because I am useless when it comes to technology, for example. It's wonderful to be able to involve different people doing prayers or saying good morning, church family, or whatever, and seeing that play out week in, week out as well. So folk are beginning to come up with ideas and having a go at things, and our role is there to try and encourage and equip folk in that as the Lord lays that on their hearts and speaks to them.
I think that's brilliant, Mark, in terms of the participation. I think that's so key. It's something I've noticed, even as I think about Sunday school, round the kitchen table with our kids, that we are participating more in terms of passing on faith to our kids. And I remember reading earlier in the year a Francis Chan book, and he said what Airbnb has done for hospitality, the church needs to do for discipleship, you know, to put discipleship in the hands of ordinary people, in the way that Airbnb has put hospitality out of the hands of the professionals. And I think that's key. And the other thing is our priorities. I remember when this all started, and Jurgen Klopp said, we don't want to play games or have competitions suspended. We don't want to play games behind closed doors. But if doing so helps one individual stay healthy, just one, we will do it, no questions asked. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I want Liverpool to lift the Premier League trophy in front of loads and loads of fans. And now, if I'm honest, I haven't really thought about the Premier League a whole lot, because I am thinking about individuals that I want to see at the end of this process. And so I think we're all getting a fresh perspective. We see how important the hospital cleaner is, and the retail staff member is, and our council employees who empty our bins. We do get a perspective change, and our priorities have changed as a result of this.
It's really, really helpful. As part of these Three Remain podcast, and actually the wider campaign as well, we've been finishing each podcast episode by allowing our contributors just to share a piece of scripture that might be key for them or you as you think about discipling others or leading others in this season. So we'll just finish that way. Marty, I'll let you kick off.
Okay, yeah, my key scripture this time is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And the Corinthians are arguing over who they follow. Is it Paul or Apollos? And Paul just says this to them. He says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each to his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. And I think for me in this time, it's recognizing that in this time when I feel like I can't do what I'd like to be doing with the people who God has put in front of me to disciple, I can trust him to bring the growth that he wants to bring. And it's really just that entrusting people's spiritual growth to God and recognizing that it's not actually down to me. And that's been really encouraging to me and very comforting to me in this time.
Michael?
For me, it's John 17, verse 3, and Jesus says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The reminder that life is found in Jesus. We've lost so many things. We've been separated from so many things. Like people are saying your health's your wealth, or when they're on holiday saying this is the life, but actually our health can be taken from us. Our holidays have been put on hold, and all those other things that we look to for life, even friendships have been put under strain. But just a reminder that Jesus is with us at all times has been really, really important. So John 17, 3, that's been really important.
Mark?
For me, it would probably be the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90, verse 12, where Moses prays, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Our prayer is that each of us would grow with hearts that are wise as we realize that our days are numbered here on earth, that we would be drawn to trust and follow the Lord who has our days in his hands. And as we seek to encourage folks to listen to him, to learn from him as he speaks to us, then with his help to live out in the way that he would want us to be and do. So my prayer for me and for all of us is that we would have hearts that would grow in his wisdom.
Amen. Thanks so much to each of you for contributing and adding so much. I've really, really enjoyed the conversation. I must confess to the listeners, I go way back with each of the three of you. So one of the contributors today was my former youth leader, one was a colleague of mine, and one I think I vaguely remember messing about on a Queen's Badge BB course many, many years ago. But I'll let the listeners decide which one's which and all of that. But thanks so much for contributing today. We really, really appreciate it. And just to say to the listeners as well, we're inviting you to share your own stories of faith, hope and love with us in these days via email. And we might aim to share these in future episodes. So please do share those with us if you think they might be an encouragement to others. And also don't forget to subscribe to receive next week's episode of These Three Remain, Stories of Faith, Hope and Love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. See you next time.